Hello. Morning. I didn't want to get snagged by the fish nets, so I'll move things back a little bit. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but a lot of Sundays that Trevor's here, he's on standby. And I called him out in the foyer, and he was subbing for his dispatcher. And so, you know, God bless Trevor. We'll take him any way we can get him, amen? Yeah, whether he's on standby or not. A couple of Sunday nights ago, 2 weeks ago, we had a really sweet time in prayer, praying for those who were sick, and there was, I don't know, Jeff, 30-plus people here, probably. About a dozen people came to pray, and then there was maybe another 20 that were prayed over and prayed for. And I already know of one testimony of a change in somebody because of that effort. And if you were here that night and God did something in your body, please share that with Jeff or I. We want to celebrate that with you guys. I know everybody walked away encouraged. Everybody walked away encouraged. It was a really sweet night. But if you have a testimony, please share that so we can share that with the congregation and give God the glory for that. Your sermon title, or the sermon title in the bulletin, is wrong. It's not Psalm 103. That's not Pat's fault. That's my fault. Thursday, I thought we were headed that direction, and Friday, had a play call that I wasn't aware of, and so we're going a different direction this morning. Sermon title this morning is The God Who Speaks. I've shared this story several years ago, so if you've heard it, just bear with me as I walk through it. You know, I retired from the fire service 12 years ago, Abilene Fire Department, and I was always doing something part-time when I worked on the fire department. First of all, my schedule allowed me to do that. And secondly, I was starving to death, and I had to do that. And so it was a win-win, you know, for me. And the last couple of years that I was working for the fire service, I was doing insurance inspection work part-time. Now, that required me to travel a lot. Most places, West Texas, west of Abilene, I traveled. And I would look at houses that either were being issued a brand new insurance policy or had a policy renewal. And the insurance companies wanted to know the condition of the house, the condition of the roof. They wanted to verify the square footage, see if there's any storage buildings on site that wasn't listed as being on site. And that was my job. And when I retired from the fire service, I did that full time for about 3 or 4 years until God called me into ministry here. And then I worked my way out of that position, and I enjoy serving you guys. I enjoy serving the Lord here, by the way. So anyway, most of my days were long days, and I would have 30 to 40 houses that I would need to inspect. And there was one morning that my day was going to start in Lubbock, Texas at 8 a.m., and I had 15 or 20 houses in Lubbock, and I was going to inspect some houses west of there or southwest of there, circle back through Midland, Odessa, and make my way back to Abilene, probably after dark that particular day. I had some long days. So I drive to Lubbock, I get there at 8, and I start my day, and I'm working on my third or fourth house. And my routine was to park in front of the house, and I would get out with my camera, and I would take a picture of the front of the house and one of the sides of the house. And then they wanted pictures of all four sides, so when I was in the back yard, I would take a picture of the back side plus the other side of the house. So two pictures. So I took my photo. I went up to the door, knocked on the door, and nobody answered. And so we had permission from the insurance companies to go ahead and inspect the property. The homeowner should have received a notice about that. So I'm walking around the side that I took the photo of. I'm measuring the square footage with a measuring wheel that I had. And I go across the front. I get to the other side. And I encountered this gate, this chain link gate, 4-foot chain link fence around this property. And so I rattle the gate, I yell a little bit to see if there's a dog in the backyard. And this real nice friendly dog comes running around the back side of the house, wagging its tail, and he looked friendly. And so I went in, I petted the dog, and I measured that side, and I went to the back of the property to take my back photo. And I've got my camera up to my face, looking through the viewfinder, and I see this dog charging me through my viewfinder. And so I drop my camera, and here's this pit mix, a big dog that's just full steam ahead running towards me. And so, you know, I wasn't too concerned about that because this had never happened before, by the way. But I always had a plan. I would take my measuring wheel and I would fend off the dog as I worked my way out of the yard. No problem. So the dog comes, I stick my measuring wheel in his face, and I'm doing pretty good for about 7 seconds, and he takes my measuring wheel away from me. See, I didn't plan on that happening. So I didn't have a plan B. So he's chewing on my measuring wheel, and I'm thinking, you know, I probably need to get out of this yard because that's not going to keep him occupied very long because it's me he's after. And so I climb up on this fence, and I'm going to climb over this 4-foot chain link fence and get in the backyard next door. Well, when this dog starts mangling my measuring wheel and barking, there's 97 dogs in this backyard next door that begin to bark. And I mean, it sounds like I'm in a 10-by-10 room with 75,000 dogs all barking and fighting at the same time. And so I'm on the fence, and the dog gets tired of chewing on my measuring wheel, and so he latches on to my leg right about there, and I don't know what to do. I've got a dog gnawing on my leg, and I'm thinking, if I get in this yard, what's going to happen over here? These dogs are upset as well. And so, you know, I'm probably there only 7 or 8 seconds, but it seemed like 15 to 20 minutes. I'm just stuck on this fence, got all this chaos around me, and in the midst of all that chaos, I hear this sweet little voice. Says, my dogs don't bite. And folks, that's all I needed to hear. And so I fell over the fence. I didn't climb over, but I fell over. And when I fell, the dog lost its grip on my leg. And I hit the ground, and it stunned me, knocked the breath out of me. So finally, I stand up, and I collect myself. And these dogs did not bite, by the way. She told the truth. I'm glad of that. And as soon as I hit the ground, they stopped barking. And so I stand up, and I've got my clipboard, and I've got my camera. But when I fell over the fence, I must have caught a barb top of the fence. I ripped my shirt from there to there. Plus, I ripped my stomach open from there to there. And as I'm standing there, I realize I've only got one shoe on. And somehow, I lost my shoe going over the fence. I kid you not. I look over in this yard, and this dog has my goofy dog has my shoe in his mouth, and he's running victory laps in the backyard because he overcame the inspector man. So I'm in Lubbock, Texas. My shirt's ripped. I'm bleeding. My measuring wheel's in the backyard. One of my shoes are in the backyard. I'm thinking, my goodness, what am I going to do? Well, about the time the lady that should have answered her door when I knocked on the door that didn't comes outside wanting to know if everything's okay. And I'm like, I didn't say this. Ma'am, no, everything's not okay. Your dog just gnawed on my leg, and you didn't answer the door, and blah, blah, blah. But I didn't say anything. I said, well, I had an encounter with your dog. Can you please get my shoe back and my measuring wheel back, and I promise I'll never come to your house again. And so she does that. And so I went to Kmart, bought me another shirt, bought me some Band-Aids, and I limped around for the rest of the day because this dog almost took a chunk out of my leg. You know, as I was on that fence, I've thought about that a number of times. I think sometimes that's how we are in life. You know, we're just kind of stuck somewhere, maybe not on a fence, but there's all this noise and chaos going on around us. And we need God to speak. We need a word from the Lord, and it's hard to hear it in the midst of all that noise and that chaos. Do y'all find that to be true? And I think spiritually, that's where we're at a lot of times. A lot of days. So the sermon title this morning is The God Who Speaks, not Psalm 103, The God Who Speaks. And I believe he's speaking this morning. I believe he may want to use this little chunky 61-year-old guy with a shirt that's not really my color, my wife says, but she likes it on me anyway, maybe to communicate with you this morning. He speaks in a number of different ways. I'm going to talk about those ways as we move through the sermon. So let's pray. God, I thank you for your love for us. Lord, I thank you that you do speak. Lord, our problem is that we're not very good listeners sometimes. So Lord, I pray that you speak this morning. I pray as I unpackage the word this morning that it makes sense. I pray that that maybe just one person this morning gets it, Lord, as we walk through the Word. I just thank you for your love for us, and Holy Spirit, you are so welcome here. You're so welcome here. And we praise you in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. So he speaks. Here's five or six ways that God speaks. You can take notes if you'd like to. First of all, he speaks through his creation. He speaks through his creation. Psalm 19, 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Scripture says that the very heavens declare the glory of God. And I believe with every sunrise, every sunset, every thunderstorm that develops, every change of seasons, I believe it just speaks volume that God is a God of love. I really do. And Paul says in Romans 1, 18 through 20, that because the heavens declare his glory, that men and women are without excuse. None of us can stand in front of him someday and say, well, God, I just didn't know you existed. That's not true. Because the heavens declare his glory. It's almost like they're screaming out, there's a God, there's a God, there's a God. And I love you. You know, I don't believe in atheist. I just don't. I because of what Scripture says. The heavens declare the glory of who God is. And no person is without excuse because of that. Now, David did not know that NASA was going to develop spacecraft that could soar through our solar system, that could soar through beyond our solar system, and record sounds that are taking place in our solar system. Now, he says that there's no speech, there's no words, there's no sound is heard from them. David didn't know that, but scientists have discovered that the universe is speaking, is making noise. The planets are making noise. Asteroids are making noise. Nebulae. I don't know what a nebula is. I'll ask your son. He knows. You know, right? He's telling his dad what it is. We'll get with you later on that. Anyway. But the heavens are truly declaring the glory of God. Lee, I've got a video that I'd like for you just to show. This is 2 minutes, eight different sounds, recorded sounds, that spacecraft had picked up as they've soared through our solar system and beyond. Anybody want to stand up and interpret what was just pronounced by the planets? You know, we don't know, but I believe every one of those sounds is a declaration that God is good, that God is holy, that He's righteous, He's a God of love. The heavens truly, church, are declaring the glory of God. Day and night, I believe they truly pour forth speech about that. So He speaks through His creation. Second way He speaks is through His Word. Through His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16, scripture we're all familiar with. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And in Psalm 119, 105. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. And so this psalmist receives a word from the Lord. God is speaking through His Word, and it gives him direction for his feet, where he should go, a light for his path, what he should be about, what he should do. And for me, this is most often the way I hear Him. I just open the Word, and He speaks to me. It's a spirit-to-spirit communication. And, you know, if you hadn't heard from God for a while, and you want to have a conversation with Him, open His Word. Just open the book. He is speaking. And His Word is alive. And I believe His Word is alive, and He's still speaking, even though our Bibles are shut. I believe God has made this declaration. He has spoken, and it's just reverberating throughout the spiritual realm, and waiting for someone to connect with it. Almost maybe like it's a radio frequency that you don't know is out there until you tune into it. You know, KGNZ is 88.1, and if I go there, unless it's knocked off the air, it'll be there. I didn't know it was on until I actually went there. But God is speaking, constantly speaking through His Word, not just when we open the Word. You know, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I don't think this was an invitation that He just gave one time. I believe it's an ongoing invitation that if we're burdened and we're weary and we need rest, that we can come to Him. It's just out there waiting for someone to take advantage of it. God speaks through creation, He speaks through His Word. The next way He speaks is through people. He speaks through people. In the Old Testament, several examples. Moses was the mouthpiece of God to the people of Israel. You know, God spoke to them one time, and it's something that they didn't want to happen again. They begged Moses, "You go talk to him and let us know what he wants us to know, and then you relay that information to us." It was so oppressive, so strong, and so powerful, they couldn't stand under it. So Moses was the mouthpiece of God to the people. The Old Testament prophets were the mouthpiece of God to the people, the Jewish people, and some non-Jewish people as well. In the New Testament, He uses pastors, He uses teachers, He uses evangelists, He uses prophets. An example of Him speaking through an apostle, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Paul's speaking to the church in Thessalonica. And we also thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as a human word, but as it actually is the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. So they receive the word from God through Paul. And He also wants to use people that are just gifted certain ways in the Holy Spirit, people who are encouragers, for example. People with a gift of exhortation. Sometimes they can speak a word that encourages somebody that has been given to them by the Lord. So He uses prophets and pastors, teachers, and evangelists. He uses us to speak. He speaks through His people. The next way He speaks is directly through the Holy Spirit. He speaks directly through the Holy Spirit. He speaks audibly. He speaks through dreams and visions. I've actually heard the audible voice of God two times in my life. Once when I was lost on a road, 3 o'clock in the morning, between Houston and San Antonio, driving a truck, God spoke to me. I fell asleep at the wheel, and it was Billy, wake up, and I woke up. I heard Him one time after that, but that's incredibly rare for me, and I'm also certain it's incredibly rare for the body of Christ. He speaks through dreams and visions. I know a man that he receives visions from the Lord. I've had maybe one or two that might have made sense to me. He speaks through dreams. Carlene's a dreamer. She has received some significant dreams from the Lord. Now me, most of my dreams are just dumb. Most of them are dumb. I mean, it's almost like I'm sitting with the Joint Chiefs of Staff and they're asking me my opinion on what's the best ice cream I like. Just random stuff that makes absolutely no sense. But he speaks that way. You know, Paul was given direction for his ministry. God spoke to him audibly. A man named Ananias had a vision. Said, you need to go pray for Paul. Lay your hands on him so he'll receive his sight. God speaks that way. And I don't know about you, but I think maybe a lot of us, we have these, we don't know what to call it, but we have these things that we sense we need to do something. Maybe we need to call somebody. We have this urging, this prompting maybe. Hey, I wonder what's going on with this person? And we call and we never know what kind of impact that phone call makes. I believe a lot of those times God's speaking to us and we're acting on his behalf. And then we can just relay a message of encouragement to someone. So he speaks directly through the Holy Spirit. Another way he speaks is through music. Through music. And I seem to connect with him this way. You know, I just love music. And there are certain song lyrics that really resonate with me when I hear them. And God can speak through hymns. He can. He can speak through middle-of-the-road Christian choruses and praise music. He can also speak through cutting-edge music as well. I don't think we need to dismiss any of those opportunities to connect with him through music. We all have preferences, I understand that, but he can speak in incredible ways through music. I had an encounter with him a couple of weeks ago through music. A good friend of mine named Jay Miller, he's a pastor in Abilene. Some of you know Jay. He pastors Mosaic Church. We went to a conference 2 weeks ago, and a really good conference. I just felt like I needed to get away. He felt like he needed to get away. And Friday night, we took a break from that conference. We went to a church in Dallas. It's called the Upper Room. Just a bunch of crazy charismatics that are pursuing the Lord. And, you know, I didn't lose my salvation. I really didn't. But it was just a time of worship and prayer. I mean, it was nothing we wouldn't do here. Okay, so we could do that here, and it would be fine. And so a lot of that music was repetitive, which sounds kind of boring. Gosh, repetitive over and over again, same lyric. And you know, I've been struggling physically for about 7 months, and God's working that out. Things are better. Not 100%. I'd like to be, but I'm not, and it's okay. God's still on the throne. And so we were singing, and this lady, just one of the leaders, began to sing over and over, "You're my healer. You're my healer. You're my healer." And so I listened to that about 97 times. And the 98th time, it started to make sense to me. And I agreed that he's my healer. Now, I claimed him as my healer. I didn't claim my healing. I claimed him as my healer. That's different. You know, there's theology that works for some people. It doesn't work for me, and I've seen it. I've seen a lot of people get hurt. You name it, you claim it, it's going to happen. I've just seen woundedness come out of that. I've also seen God do some miraculous things in my brother's life. He flows in that stream. He understands it. I don't understand it. But I walked out of that prayer room that night, knowing without a doubt he's my healer. I've spoken that time and time again, but I know it here. Because, see, he's my Lord. If he's my Lord, he's my healer. If he's my Lord, he's my provider. It's a package deal, church. And he spoke deeply to me. So it's okay. If I get up, I'm dragging a little bit, it's okay because he's my healer. And ultimately, all of us someday, are going to be completely set free. I won't need these stupid looking glasses anymore. He's our healer, church. He's our healer. He speaks through music. He also speaks through prayer. If you want to communicate with God, just spend time with him. It's kind of that simple. And don't talk too much. He's always got significant things to say that's more important than things I have to say. So he speaks in a lot of different ways, and I didn't cover all those. He speaks through the media. I know some people who he'll watch a movie and they'll say, man, wasn't that sweet how the redemption story just played out in that movie? I'm thinking, what movie did you see? But I know people that do that. I mean, God speaks in a number of different ways. I believe he's trying to get our attention as he speaks. Second thing, he speaks and his words have authority. As he speaks, his words have authority. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields fruit, seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So just like moisture evaporates, And things happen in the atmosphere, and rain clouds come together, and thunderstorms happen. The rain comes back down, and it snows, and it waters the ground, causes the bud to flourish, and it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, and it cycles over and over again. It's the same way with God's word. He says it goes out and it comes back, and it never returns to me void. Church, that is authority. If God's word can go out and come back. And never return to him void. And that's why Scripture can say about itself that all the promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, because those words have incredible authority. At this conference, I heard a gentleman make a statement that really resonated with me. You know, Jesus says that all authority on heaven and earth has been given unto me. Everybody know that Scripture. You familiar with that? And he said, well, if Jesus has all the authority, that means someone has none. Who could that be? Could be the enemy. The only authority he has in our life is what we allow him to have. There's authority in God's word. There's authority that goes along with God's word. And I believe God is doing everything on his end to let humanity know how he feels about them, that he created them and he loves them. He needs to do nothing more than what he's already done and what he continues to do. Our issue is, point number three, we need to be better listeners. I mean, if God is speaking daily, I believe he's speaking 24/7, just the heavens. They never cease day and night saying or declaring the glory of God. 24/7, I believe God is speaking. Our issue is that we need to be better listeners. We have a hard time listening. You know, hearing God's voice, it's like, as I said at the outset, it's difficult because there's so many competing voices in our world. There's all this chaos in our world. And I think sometimes we're stuck on that proverbial fence. And we need to hear from the Lord. And there's all this stuff going on. And it's distracting. And we just can't seem to connect with him. But he's speaking in the midst of all that. Psalm 46 speaks to that. Psalm that all of us are probably familiar with. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, he will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with surging. There is a river, I love this verse, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is with her. She will not fall. Even in the midst of chaos, there's safety. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done and the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Chaos all around us. And then he says, be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And church, for us to here, we have to be intentional. We have to be incredibly intentional. So I'm going to ask you a few questions, and you don't need to answer those out loud unless you want to, but keep your answer to yourself. This is not a test, just a couple of questions. When's the last time you heard God speak? Has it been this week? A month ago? First of the year? Last fall? When's the last time you've heard him speak? He's speaking 24/7. The heavens are declaring his glory. His word's going out. If you've got that thought in your mind, I want to ask you another question. How many words have you listened to other than God's word over that same period of time? I'm not at all belittling the choices we make, okay? But I'm almost certain that what God has to say is better than what Fox News has to say, what CNN has to say, and I watch the news, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, I'm almost certain what God has to say is more important than what these people have to say. What he has to say is more important than talk radio. There's nothing wrong with listening to talk radio, ESPN, SportsCenter, etc. He's got more important things to say. And I think all of us need to have a really good, healthy balance there. I thought that was a good word, you know. Because listen, he has the words of life. His words can change us, can change our situation. Now, I want to ask another question. I ask a question, when's the last time you heard God speak? And you've probably been able to identify a range of time, maybe, perhaps. Is there anybody in this building this morning that has never heard his voice? Don't raise your hand. You know it. You've never heard the voice of God. You don't know what it sounds like. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They're mine." You know, Carlene, if she was here, she would tell you this story. And I didn't ask her for permission, but Christy, is it okay if I tell this? Christy said yes. You know, Carlene, my goodness, she's just been so stinking sweet since day one, you know. She was born in the nursery. 7 days later, she's teaching the children, the seven-day-old kids, you know, what Jesus is about, I'm almost certain. She began teaching children Sunday school at age 11 or 12 with her mom and dad, who were awesome saints of the Lord. You know, directed Vacation Bible Schools and just always involved in ministry. She's been in the Word. She's taught numerous Sunday school lessons. And in 1993, she was baptized when she was 10 or 11 years old. In 1993, we were going through a study called Experiencing God. Anybody been through that study? It's a 90s deal. You know, just an incredible study by Henry Blackaby and Claude King, I believe, was the co-writer's name. And we were walking through that study together. And he came to a chapter about God speaking. And she realized that she had never heard his voice. And I'm thinking, how does that happen? I mean, Carlene, you were born in the nursery. 7 days later, you were teaching the seven-day-olds about Jesus. Sat through a number of sermons. Taught Sunday school classes, read your Bible, and you never heard his voice? And it frightened her, deeply frightened her. And so one Sunday morning, not long after that, she grabs me and an altar call is given, and like I've joked in the Baptist church, if you want to get saved, you have to walk it down an aisle. That's the only way you can get saved. But it works. It works for some. And so she grabbed me and said, we need to go down front. She said, Billy, I'm not saved. Had never heard his voice. She gave her heart to Jesus that morning. She was radically different. It's not that she was a bad person, but the Holy Spirit lived inside of her, and it made all the difference in the world. So this morning, if you're here and you've never heard his voice, I would be concerned. I would be concerned. But the neat thing about that is that God wants you to know his voice. That's why he sent Jesus. Let's have the praise team come up. We good back there, family? Praise team, go ahead and come up. This morning, I don't know how you need to respond, if you need to respond. You know, if it's been a while since you've heard from the Lord, I encourage you, pursue him more. Go home, open the Word, see what he says to you. I know he'll speak to you. And if you've just never heard that voice, well, today's a good day to get that right, to get that reconciled. And it happens by giving your heart to Jesus, because he says, my sheep hear my voice. So I'm going to pray for us, and if you need prayer, you can come up front, you can come to the altar, if you can make your way around all the decorations, or I'll be up front, Jeff will be up front as well. So if you need somebody to pray with, come see us. Let's pray. God, You're awesome. You are so awesome. God, you love humanity so much. It's almost daily you're crying out, trying to get our attention. You want every one of us to spend eternity with you. And God, if we've been neglectful in our personal disciplines, oh God, it's not about personal disciplines. It's about us spending time with you. It's about us hearing from you. Would you stir our hearts this morning? Holy Spirit, stir our affections for Jesus this morning as we pursue you. And Lord, if there's somebody this morning who does not know you, Lord, I pray that today is the day of salvation. You're such a loving God, a gracious God. You're slow to anger. You're full of compassion and mercy. So stir us this morning, God. This time is yours. Holy Spirit, woo and draw. Do the things that only you can do. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name.